I was actually there more than 20 years ago when it all happened. We're talking the snowman. Hit it. It was 1982. Orchid Jewelry was in. Grace Kelly died in a car crash, and James and a snowman formed a wonderful friendship. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me are some very special guests. You'll know them as the bodacious surf rock group, The Volcanics, Frankie, Jared, and Ben. Guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey there.
How are y'all doing tonight?
Totally rad.
I see what you did there. Oh man, it's nice to meet y'all. I dig your sound. How did you come together? I mean, I'm just curious. Like, what's the history of
Frankie?
Frankie, that's you.
But Frankie, come a little closer to the camera.
We started back in 2001, just started playing surf music, just with a bunch of friends, and none of us could afford a PA and a mic, and so we just started an instrumental band and started playing surf since. So
nice. Yeah, I play guitar too, and I sing a little bit. I gig around randomly with some friends of mine whenever they need a guitarist to fill in because, like, someone's sick or, you know, or he has to go to a wedding or something, then I'm usually the guy they call and I just kind of fill in and,
nice.
And I sing, you know, and stuff like that. But I'm always interested to meet musicians in other styles. Like why surf rock? Is it just something that you were always into, or is just?
Yeah, I had a lot of friends that played it. You know, when I was going to high school, I had some friends in other bands and they turned me on to it. And again, Jared and I, we started our first surf band back in 93, 94.
Wow.
And we played for our high school talent show, and we were trying to be a vocal band, but none of us knew how to sing, and we didn't have enough money to buy the mics and the PA, so we just said we're gonna do instrumental. So, and we've been doing it ever since. So
you didn't want to hear our singing.
We try.
We are gonna take a stab at walking in the air now. So I mean, that's cool. That's pretty hip. I've never played surf music myself, although I've played quite a bit of different styles, jazz for a bit, and random things. So I mean, it's like really cool to me, just because I've never done it, and so it's like super intriguing, and I gotta know more, you know. But we're here to talk to Snowman first. And I'm very curious, because y'all have a Christmas album coming out that we'll talk about a little bit later as well. But one of your tracks is about the snowman. So what's your history, or like your general thoughts on the snowman?
This one's all Frankie.
It was my idea to do it. Very influenced by the cartoon. I know it originally started as a book.
As a book, yeah.
And a few years later, they made it into a cartoon. You know, that opening shot where you see the guy walking through the field and it's cold, it looks like winter, and he's just talking, like, there's just something chilling about it. And then you hear the piano come in. It's very beautiful, but at the same time, a little bit, I don't know, melancholy, lonely. And as a kid, you're watching that and you're wondering, this doesn't look like Frosty the Snowman. So I don't know. It just, I think the music a lot captured me, and that always stuck with me. And I thought it was a beautiful song, you know, and so it was always in my head around Christmas time. I'm a big Christmas guy, grew up in the 80s. And so, yeah, it's just something we took a stab at. So it was one of the four songs that we tried doing. I like doing off the wall covers, and you know, that was one thing that kind of I thought would be kind of neat to do, to take a stab at and our perspective on the song.
So you actually grew up with this special then?
Oh yeah. We would watch it as kids, you know. I remember hunting through the TV guide trying to find out what Christmas specials would be on, and so that was definitely one of them. So
yeah. Nice. That's kind of like me. I'm the same way, but I was with the Rankin Bass.
Oh yeah.
Rudolph and Frosty, and you know, Santa Claus is coming to town, and of course,
yeah,
you know, some of the
one that was really close on the radar was the "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" by Rankin Bass. Nice. I love the music behind that one.
Yeah.
So I was playing around a lot with the melody line of that cartoon, but you know, ended up being this one. So.
Okay, right on. What about you guys? You guys grew up with it too?
I'd never even watched the cartoon until Frankie showed it to me. You know, I mean, obviously I grew up in the 80s, but like I didn't see it. I had no idea. But as soon as I heard the song, I was like, oh yeah, we can do this. Oh nice. Yeah. Something like this for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was kind of a similar space, right? Like I'm not as familiar with this as Frankie was, right? But he kind of played us like kind of what he was thinking and then told us, oh, it's from The Snowman. I sort of knew enough to be like, oh, right. It's like a color pencil looking mm-hmm. like, oh, he's got the orange nose, right? Like that thing. But I really didn't know, like my family was weird. Like the Christmas specials we gravitated towards were like Ernest Saves Christmas and like Pee-wee. Like, I don't know what was like, you know what I mean? It was just like that kind of stuff. So I wasn't familiar with some of that stuff. So I had to go watch it.
I do love that Pee-wee special. It's a cool
It's special. So good.
It's like the weirdest thing. On that note, it's not one of the better well-known, you know, it's not like Charlie Brown, you know, or the Muppets. It's kind of flies under the radar for a lot of people, to be honest with you.
Especially here in the States. Like, I know it's huge in like Britain, you know, there's something very British about it. And it just, I don't know if it translates well. Just like, it's funny because Charlie Brown doesn't really translate. You know, it's very Americana, and so when it goes to other countries, they don't quite pick it up. They like Snoopy more than they like anything else.
Sure.
And so there's something very. I mean, it ends on like a downer. This is a downer kind of episode.
As soon as it starts, like you see that man, that lonely man, just walking through that field, and it's just strange. It's a little bit strange and lonely, but that's what almost. You know, captures you in a little bit. It's very weird to explain, but
yeah,
you know, it always stuck with me for that reason.
Well, it's funny you talk about the intro because there's actually three different intros that were done.
Wow, so, I only knew of two.
So you know, there's that one. There's the one where I guess Father Christmas, you know, Santa Claus he introduces it. Basically he's getting ready to watch The Snowman on TV and he's like, oh yeah, I remember this, which
I never
it's like
seen
so
that.
Meta. And then
it was like
the
an
one...
anniversary thing.
It was,
I like did some homework this week because I was like, I don't know a lot about this, but yeah, it was like an anniversary. They reanimated an opening sequence to it. Apparently.
They did. Yeah. Oh, in the same style with the pastels and like the, you know, the crayon kind of look. And that's the version that I knew, but even I barely knew this one. I'm kind of like you guys. I didn't know this one very much. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't read the book. So I didn't see it till maybe a couple of years ago. And even then it didn't really interest me. So I kind of changed it like halfway through the first time.
Yeah. And to be honest, you know, it gets a little bit, you know, it loses you a little bit. I don't want to down talk it, but it loses you a little bit as they're like, it, you know, playing and experimenting with the snow, you know, but the it brings you back with the song and the music. So I thought that was very powerful about it too. So I get it. I definitely get it.
Well, that third intro is the one with David Bowie.
Yes.
That's crazy to have David Bowie. I mean, apparently David Bowie really loved Christmas. And of course, a lot of people know him from you know, when he's singing with Bing Crosby.
The
little drummer boy and, you know, Peace on Earth. I mean, that's got to be like my favorite version of, you know, little drummer boy ever. And so, you know, he's like a classic. I guess he also did like another special that was like a Christmas special, and it was just a little intro kind of a thing. And so it was just something kind of random that a little fact, no one really, I guess it's not really popular about him, but it makes sense that if you really love Christmas, he would do something like this. Although the book itself really wasn't about Christmas at all. If I recall. I
think that was in my read up earlier this week, the book, he doesn't, the author, Raymond Briggs,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't see his book as a Christmas book. And then when they went to take it to TV, they were like, oh, he did. Because he had done an earlier book in his career about Father Christmas. And so I guess when they were, whatever production company was putting together this film, was like, oh, he did this Father Christmas. Like, so we already kind of have the like character design, like put Father Christmas into it. So like the whole thing about the motorcycle isn't in the book. Like that was done for just this, the whole thing about like meeting Father Christmas and like getting all a scarf, all that, like all of that was put in by the production company, who just needed to like pad 20 minutes. You know, they were like, we can't just have a snowman like put on makeup and suspenders and then like that's it. Like we gotta like get some stuff. Like there has to be a climax to this. So all of that was sort of like imposed on him.
You know, I had the book when I was a kid, but I haven't opened it in 20 years. So I mean I don't remember how it ends or anything. So that's interesting to hear. I didn't know that.
Well, spoilers, it's a sad ending.
So I was gonna ask, so as opposed, how does the book end?
It's the same thing. There's this really funny, there's a lot of interviews with the Raymond Briggs guy around online, and he's such like the quintessential like grumpy old like British guy. And there's like this interview with him like I watch, and he's like, yeah, you know, and it ends and he just melts and disappears, you know, that's how life goes. You know, people just die. And it's like, man, like, you're really,
it's funny because I always equated the cartoon to The Shining. Hear me out.
I see that. I get
hear
it.
Hear me out.
It checks out.
So, you don't know if Jack is insane or it's really ghosts until he gets let out of that storage, that food storage that he's in. The ghost turns the handle. So same thing with the snowman. You don't know if it's the boy's imagination or it's really happening until you see him walk out and he pulls out the scarf in from his coat. So I thought, you know, it's very, in a strange way, I related to Shining, but yeah.
I mean, it's, I think this like to like tie this back into like you know, kind of like the interpretation or the song that we ended up putting together, kind of inspired by this, right? Like for Jared and I, it was really funny because we are not familiar with this. We don't have, you know, people can hate us in the comments, but like we don't have that nostalgic like bond to it, right? So like Jared and I kind of took it, watched the thing, and we're like, oh, this is weird. Like a snowman kidnaps this kid and like land, and like it's kind of weird. But like Frankie has a lot of that emotional bond to it. But the version of that, of the song that I think ends up on the album, like we kind of went for like the, like, let's get weird with this, like let's leave a lot of open space, like let's make the drums super echoey, like let's leave these big open gaps of time with just this weird like drum loop that just happens, and you just like sit there waiting, because the film to me is like so lonely and creepy. But I was like, well, let's make a lonely, creepy Christmas song. And it'll ruin Frankie's childhood. That's fine. Like, we're going to, like, let's explore this space, you know?
We only ruined it a little bit.
Only a little bit.
Yeah, that's, hey, everybody needs their childhood ruined a tiny bit. That's all. But you know what? It's funny, though, because it's similar to Frosty the Snowman by Rankin Bass, you know,
sure.
Same thing. A snowman comes a lot, you know, to life, and takes this little girl away off to sure. the north. So he kidnaps a kid there too. He also melts. The difference is Santa brings him back to life. And so yeah. Frosty goes on to, you know, and so it's like a happy ending, but I think it's
there's like a weird
palette. It's the whole animation style. Yeah. Something about it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a thesis here. There's got to be I want you to, if you're studying for your master's in English right now, anyone at home, like there's got to be some thesis around like British versus American literature rhetoric and why Frosty seems happy and the snowman seems so depressing. It's the same thing. It's just the delivery of the two and like the words, the way that like Raymond Briggs like interprets this situation just feels mm-hmm. so dire and sad. Whereas like Frosty's like, this is awesome.
Yeah. What happened if you swap the music, you know?
I mean,
you have an English composer, so that has a lot to do with why it feels so sad.
Yeah. Speaking of, I mean, this is like legit music scoring here. I mean, there's like hints of romanticism. Like there are times where I straight up thought I was listening to like Debussy, you know, and then other times where it was like Stravinsky, you know, in some of it. I mean, it's very impressionistic. Sometimes it kind of blends or it plays with the tonality. I mean, I really enjoyed the score.
Yes.
The book, does it have dialogue?
I don't think so. I think it's all just pictures.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The book is all pictures.
So I watched some interviews when Ben and I were studying this week. And one of them was really interesting because the composer had suggested that there be no dialogue, and they were planning on adding dialogue to it, the cartoon that they written out. And they're like, I don't know if it's going to work. And he's like, let me try it. And so he does this demo, and then they're like, oh my God, it's so good. And so they do the whole thing without dialogue. And the music, I mean, is the dialogue, which is so cool.
And you know, it goes by kind of fast too. It's a half hour long, but it feels faster than that, you know? So I think, I don't know how, but the silence of it, or you know, just how it moves.
It feels like a weird, like watching it now, like right where I'm just like, you know, I'm like millennial trash, right? So I'm just ingesting this. I'm just ingesting this on YouTube, right? Like it feels like it's weird because it feels like this big prolonged introduction to get to the walking on the air segment, right? Like I feel like like when I'm watching it, like, and maybe this is just having come into it from the outside and then having sat with the walking in the air song for so long, maybe I'm just waiting like, okay, when are we going to get to the thing? But like, it feels like a music video, like Thriller or something, where I'm like trying to, I'm like watching a setup to get to this sort of like walking in the air.
The prologue. Happens, yeah.
I never thought about it that way, but you're
trying to get to this moment, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. I get it. It that seems like the climax of the whole thing. Yeah. Then you know after that they pretty much just get home, and then you know he goes upstairs, and then he wakes up, and then the snowman is melted.
Right. Yeah. You know it's not going to end well when he wakes up and the sun's coming through, and he's running past his parents. You know that snowman's not going to be there with the parents awake and stuff. So you know. And then he's like outside, and I remember the sun's in his face. You know that snowman's gone.
yeah. That's I every time I see it, and I've only seen it a couple of times now, but every time it's still just a shock. Like it's like what? How do you end that like that? But you know, whatever. Like I said, it's very British. Maybe that's why I don't get it. I don't know, but
it's that dry British Christmas, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. So the nutshell, and we kind of already have gone over most of it, but the nutshell is a little boy builds a snowman and on Christmas Eve, and that night he, you know, the snowman comes alive and they have shenanigans, and then next morning snowman's gone. I guess that's basically the nutshell.
Yes. And as Frankie pointed out, and at some point the snowman breaks through a door with an axe, and he says, "Hello, John." Yeah,
here's Johnny.
Here's James. Right?
Isn't that the exactly. Yeah, the boy's name is James. And in the book, the boy's not named. They gave him the name James specifically for the animated short there.
Wait, did you find the tidbit as to why?
I think it was one of the animators' like boyfriends.
Yes, yes.
I think they
just
married,
wrote though. It in the cell. They just were like, put James on the present because it's my boyfriend's name.
I missed that.
It's insane.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm learning a lot, and I thought I was the fan.
I have too much time on my hands in the internet. So. Cheers.
But yeah, so you know, you're right. They kind of dig through the various closets and clothes, and they go through the bathroom. I mean, he's like, he takes a snowman inside the house and sits him by like the fire, and of course, the snowman starts to, you know, pull at his scarf and hat, and so he takes him away, and they go upstairs. I mean, it's like a whole lot of little things that don't really mean a lot until you get to that very special moment where they all of a sudden the snowman can fly. Which I why not, you know?
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of weird. He doesn't even have a cape on, but hey, it's Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, anything could happen. The magic of Christmas.
There you go.
Here's one for you. There's a moment where he goes into a shed with the boy, and they open a giant freezer.
Yes.
And he sits down into the freezer, and it's like a hot tub for him, right?
Yeah, but, right.
Then he's like sitting on some boxes or something, and he pulls a box up, and it's like fish sticks or something, right? And he's like, he looks at it like, and I got this weird like feeling when he looked at it, and it was almost like he was like, "What the hell is this?" Like, and then the scene cut, and I was like, "Okay, what was that? I don't know, but I feel weird now."
There's a lot of weird bits in there. So like when he's in the kitchen and he's like switching out because his nose is an apple that they like pushed in, you know? And yes. So he's like switching it out for the different fruit. So like the pear and the banana. And
that's right. I remember that.
There's a lot of like little weird bits like that. You're just like,
I kept waiting with the fruit on the face thing. I kept waiting for him to like do a bit or something like a celebrity. Like, I don't, again, I was like waiting and this
Doesn't
is like,
he?
I can. This is like. I guess this is like super. Because I feel like that's such a good '80s trope.
Yeah.
Of like the bit, like the like he puts on a fake nose and does like a Rhett Skellington bit. You know what I mean? I get waiting for that.
But, he's not gonna fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Well, that whole thing, you know, the snowman just started existing, and so he's experimenting and
being
exposed to all these things. But then yet he knows where Santa Claus is and he takes the kid offline at the same time. So,
yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I really like the way this is animated. There's something about it that it's different from what you normally saw. You know, it's beautiful. It was done. But it's at the same time, I wish there was like more story.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, I'm watching it as an adult that didn't grow up with it. So
It's that kids media thing, right? You're like, oh, there's just no. This was just for like 5-year-old Frankie to be like, eat his cereal and his tidy whities and be like, wow, I want to go to snowman. Like nobody was trying to analyze it. Nobody was asking.
Crunchberry.
No different now.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's moved on to boxers rather than tidy whities.
He hasn't.
But, you know, so they go on this flight. And this is when we get the song that you guys cover on your Christmas album, which I really want to talk about in a bit. But we get that song, we're walking in the air, and it's basically D minor, right? I think it's just in D minor, or let's see, I think it goes to like the flat 7 and then the flat 4, something like that, the flat 4 minor. Flat 4.
You're hitting us with music stuff. We're in the deep end right
now. Oh, okay, never mind. Well, anyway.
Maybe Jared knows.
There's another reason why we play instrumental surf music. It's because we can't read music.
I thought you just really liked Walk, Don't Run. Well, so it's like it goes as a flat 7 major, of course. Then it goes to the 4 minor and then like the flat 6 major. And then from there, you kind of have it like has that pull because the flat 6 wants to go to the 5. But instead of resolving to the 5, it goes down to the back to that minor 1. And so it's a really cool bit where you get to that that chorus-y, I don't know if you'd call it a chorus line, whatever. Yep.
Where I know what you're talking about.
All of a sudden, you know, it's like an A. So all of a sudden now you're in, you know, the five chord, which wants to move to the one. But it's, so now it's a harmonic minor. But then you get a G in there, which kind of throws you off. So now the four is major. And so it's a melodic minor. And so that melodic minor kind of acts as like a five of five. And so now I know I'm talking a lot of music theory here, but we get a lot of cool little like mini key changes, like 2-5-1s and like five of fives and secondary dominants and things like that. And so it's almost in a way, it's almost kind of jazzy with the way they go through the 2-5-1s and stuff like that. And so I really dig that, 'cause I love jazz, you know, I'm playing jazz. So, as soon as I heard the song, at first I was like, oh, okay, little boy singing. But then I heard the changes and I'm like, I dig this. This would be like cool to like just solo over forever, you know, like just take like five choruses and go, you know, trade some.
I think like you explained it in a much more musical way. But I think for Jared and I, like in looking at it, like Frankie kind of played us some of the lead pieces that he was kind of thinking through, right? Like, and again, this is Jared and I just listening to it without any ref. We're us not watching it or really looking at it, but like he's playing us some of these parts that he kind of wants to, like, we kind of want to put into the song or ideas we want to sort of riff on. And that was the thing for Jared and I, right? Like we're looking at it. I think a lot of the, in a way, you know, I'll get slammed on the surf message boards for this, but like a lot of the Volcanics music to me like functions around a lot of like pop architecture, right? Like we use a lot of those, like this is how songs go, these are the kind of progressions we use. And so when Frankie starts playing this stuff for Jared and I, we're like, okay, we like rip up the like way we would structure this, you know, when you listen to our record now, right? Like our version of Hark the Herald is like a punk rock song, like it gets it done. Then Frankie plays us, hey, I got this idea about this snowman song. We're like, okay, we cannot verse chorus this thing. Mm-hmm. Like we got to get weird with this, right? Yeah. And then we see the visual and it's so weird and like lonely and abstract and has all this stuff going on. So we're like, okay, cool. How do we like build something out of this? So I think, you know, from the bass and Jared can elaborate on this more, but like from the bass, you sort of kind of get this like driving, like Motown like backbeat to it. The drums, my version of the drums are like, I basically like conceptually ripped a lot of that from like the Roots, the hip-hop band, like Questlove, like that. Okay. Is a Questlove beat from the beginning of Game Theory fused with like the beginning of what's the song, Come Out and Play by the Offspring, that like opening thing he does. So it was like that. Like, what if Questlove from the Roots played the opening thing from the Offspring, and then that's a beat that just keeps looping over and over, and there's this Motown backbeat, and then this walking in the air, like, melody plays at the top. And then when we get to those weird chorus changes, right, we'll call it a chorus or whatever.
I guess, like, I don't know what to call it.
You know, we can, like, put those more standard, what you're used to, like, surf beats into it. And it feels like you're resolving into like, oh, here's the happy part. And then you flip them back into, oh, here's this weird like loop playing it. Like, it's this high and low push pull of going, you're sad. And now you're flying and it's happy. And you're sad again. And now you're happy. Like, that's kind of the
roller coaster. That's for sure.
Yeah. I felt Frankie's soul die a little when you said Offspring.
I know. I don't know what made him angrier, the Offspring reference or the hip hop reference, but they're both in there.
I was good. I was all for it. I loved it.
It's funny because I was a band director for a couple of years there. And one of the songs that we would play in the stands was Come Out and Play. Is, you know, it's a crowd favorite, I guess.
So. Yeah. That little opening stick thing he does, like, is like this weird, he like moves his hand under the hi-hat stand to like hit that open. Mm-hmm. And the first couple takes of this version had like, it was way more intricate. And I think Jared was like, you don't need to do all this. Like,
sometimes less is more. Yeah.
you don't have to do all of these pieces. But there's demos somewhere of like way overly complicated drum patterns in that.
Well, Jared, you're the bass player. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so how did you structure your bass line for this song?
It was actually super easy. I just felt like it needed some grounding and some driving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just what I do best, is sit there and just do my job. And then let kind of everything unfold around it, you know, because the drums, like Ben was saying, are, you know, they have like this thing going on, you know, and then Frankie's carrying the melody, like without it, you don't really know what song it is. And so like someone needed to just sit there and just hold it down and just, you know,
stay in the pocket.
Yeah. Pocket. So it works really well with the drums.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool. And we added some, there's some extra rhythm guitar tracks that we eventually put in there, and they do something exactly almost similar to the bass, or exactly what the bass does. Just very like, you know, doing a job, holding it together, not, mm-hmm. you know, overshadowing anything.
Jared actually records us. He's the engineer and, you know, producer. He records the band. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He teaches at a music college. So.
Okay. Yeah. Right on. That's pretty cool. What do you teach?
Music production.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mostly technical stuff, digital audio workstations, you know, signal processing, microphones.
That nice. Kind of.
But, you know, yeah. This is my hobby. Like, recording is my hobby. It's all I think about. It's all I want to do. It's all I want to spend all my money on. You know? So any chance I get, yeah, we're recording. You know, so I'm always pushing these guys, like, let's record.
Let's do another album. Come on, guys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. These guys always want to, are always ready to record, and we're always, there's always stuff on a hard drive somewhere. And I'm always like, guys, we have to like sell the last one that we have, especially with like 2020 and we, you know, we can't tour, you know, we're not touring or playing shows, or, you know, we're stuck at home. I'm like, we got like a couple cases of records to, like, we should probably sell, or the like the label's gonna get pretty pissed if we don't.
Yeah, this is our second record to come out in 2020. First one came out in April, right? April.
March.
Right, April. When it was coming out,
Then now this one, so. But at least, you know, we can't play shows, so at least we're writing and we're recording and trying to, you know, being productive in that sense.
So why a Christmas album? I'm just curious.
There's a lot of cool surf instrumental bands that have done Christmas albums, like The Ventures, Little Straitjackets, you know. It's been on my bucket list. And with these guys, I just, you know, we were able to do it, especially during, you know, this year. There was a lot of downtime, so we came together and just made it happen. So yeah, it's been on my list to do. I always thought it'd be fun to do a Christmas holiday, a couple songs.
Right on.
Yeah.
And so the snowman just was a good fit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't remember how that came into the mix, which songs came in where and how, and, you know,
I think we
moved pretty fast.
Yeah. We had tracked, we're kind of like always recording stuff, right? So we had like played around with two of the Christmas songs and kind of had those, you know, on the hard drive for whenever somebody needs a Christmas song. And then I think with this, I think the, you know, we had put out our last 7-inch, you know, earlier in the year. And I guess it must have done okay, right? Like, I guess it did well enough that the label was kind of like, well, what do you want to do next? And we were like, well, like, we have this Christmas idea. And they really were like, yeah, like, go for it. Like, yeah, like, that's awesome. Like, I think there's, I can't explain it, but there's something, you know, like, again, Frankie said, like, The Ventures, Straitjackets, you know, if you go outside of the surf genre, like, other retro genres, like a J.D. McPherson, or these guys, like, have done a lot of, like, you know, even, you know, Brian Setzer's bread and butter at this point is making Christmas records. Like, he's missing
for real.
Right. So I think there is a natural, like, draw, or like some, I don't know why, but there's some sort of good fit between kind of like classic retro type genres, like what we do, and mm-hmm. like a Christmas record. So I think there was just a good fit there. And I think the label saw, like, yeah, yep. Oh, the sweater guys want to make a Christmas record. Perfect. Go make the Christmas record. So, you know, we came back with four songs and here they are. And they're like, cool, great, we'll put this out. So
I did see that in the I don't know if it's the liner notes or just a little, you know, the little tag there, how you mentioned the combo, the SoCal combo with the matching cardigans. Yeah. Is that a staple of your live performances?
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, that's what we do. Sweating up there, our
sweating sweaters
for real. Oh man, I hate. No, I got to be like in t-shirt or I'm done. Like, that's it. And it's crazy because when I used to play jazz, I'd be like an all black suit. And so now it's like, I can't do that anymore.
Jared loves the sweaters. That's his favorite thing of all time. He loves the sweaters. Yeah.
I'm still looking for a surf band that wears, like, you know, board shorts and flip flops.
Crocs.
Jared wants to be a surf band that dresses like surfers. Unfortunately, he's in the surf band that dresses like, I don't know, the Monkees. But
hey, the Monkees are still cool, so we'll take it.
I'll take that as a by proxy compliment to us.
yeah, I dig it. So wrapping up on the Snowman, because I want to talk about your album and just focus on your album. So we don't really have nostalgia for it except for Frankie. So I got to say, as far as the actual special, what would you say is like your happiest moment in this, or memory?
Wow. Of the special? The whole thing is devastating. I don't know why I like it so much.
All right.
Well, Frankie, I don't want to like put words in your mouth, but I can see your struggle face happening, so I want to help. I thought it was interesting what you said about, like, you and Haven watching it.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I don't know, like, that's such a connection between you and Jared. Like, I don't know, like, to me, I'm like, wow, this connection goes deep.
Right, besides having seen it as a kid, looking through the TV guide, finding any of the holiday specials coming up, my pal Haven, Jared's girlfriend's daughter, I've known her since she was a baby, and we've always talked about it year after year, every single year. It doesn't fail. So I'll always send her the clip of the song of them flying through the air. So, you know, it's just something that we do. It's fun when we reminisce, and it's that time of year. It never fails. So yeah.
Wait, actually, like a TV guide, like a paper TV guide.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Still get those?
he's the only one in the U.S. that still gets a TV guide.
Would not surprise me.
I didn't grow up with it. I don't have a happiest memory. So I guess my favorite part was really just when they get to the snowman party and they all meet, you know, Father Christmas or Santa Claus, whatever you want to call him. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. That's
my arm was say. Being twisted, but I was going to say that part, but I was like, okay, I don't know. But yeah, there's, besides that, you know, there's not much.
No. And this next part's going to be really hard. So this is normally my favorite part of the show. This is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is where we do like our best impression of like our least favorite part of the, you know, of the special. Usually it's a bit of dialogue or like something you thought maybe that was cringeworthy or just, you know, something that just didn't, it was kind of flat. There's not really a whole lot to do in this. So, you know, we can give it a shot here, but I don't know if we can make it. As a guest, I'll let you go first. I'll put it out on social media and the listeners can vote and see who had the best impression. The winner will get a totally rad Christmas sticker. Unless I win, which I get nothing, but I think you're all fine because I've done, I don't know how many episodes and I still have yet to win, but just kind of set up the scene for us, I guess. And just, go for it.
Let's see. What about the pair or the when he's trying on different noses?
And you know, visual bits always kill on a podcast.
Yeah, visual bits always kill on a podcast. There was one quote that I was like, you had mentioned beforehand that this is one of your bits. And I was like, yeah, there's no dialogue in this, but I was watching the Bowie introduction. So deep cut for the listeners. Gotta go for this one. But in the Bowie introduction, I wrote this line down because the sentence is mind-blowing. He says, now, in this scene, David Bowie is playing James as an adult. They've set up this live-action world in which Bowie, with bleach blonde hair, in which James has become a new waver later in life.
I love the pleats on his pants. That's the best. Yeah.
And he goes back and he pulls out a scarf and he says the quote, "I made a really big snowman. I got this scarf from him. You see, he was a real snowman."
I remember that. I remember that.
What is that sentence? That is terrible. So crazy.
Like, see, he was a real snowman. Yes, he was.
Yeah, you're like, what does that mean?
Any snowman you build is a real snowman.
It's a real snowman.
It's really.
I made a really big snowman. Anyway, so if anybody has a good impression of that, if anybody has a good Bowie accent, I can deliver that one.
I definitely don't have a good Bowie accent. I had a hard time. I just stuck with the Santa one, and the only reason I picked this line was because I hated the voice that he uses for it. So it's not even really that funny or anything, but it's Santa and he goes, "You'll excuse me. I'm going to try my best here," but he goes, "It really did snow that night. Even had me grounded." You know, I don't know. That was terrible. But anyway,
That's good.
I will let Jared, unless you have one you want to do.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know why.
Yeah, then I will let the listeners vote, and we'll see what happens here. But I think, like I said, I think you guys are safe. I haven't won yet, so
fish sticks. Yeah, Jared's gonna put up fish sticks. Gonna put a bag of peas.
Jared's gonna win now.
Yeah, you guys should see this. He's pulling out a box of fish sticks from somewhere. I don't want to know where, but
totally weird.
Yeah, you know what? We're lucky. Jared's actually talking about the cartoon. We thought he was going to be talking about that murder mystery movie, The Snowman.
Oh, with Harry Hole. Hole. That's terrible.
Ben and I were a little bit worried there. So.
Oh, man. You know, but I got to ask, because G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What do you think's the other half?
Of this movie?
Sure.
The other half is the kidnapping charges that are coming down on his
head. Yeah, no kidding.
He needs to be glad that he melted, because I don't know. He's got a few years coming his way.
Well, they definitely crossed state lines, that's for sure.
Oh, boy. You guys are ruining this for me.
Sorry.
I'm not going to remember it the
it's
same.
It's beautiful. I love the animation. You know, I think for me, if knowing is half the battle, the other half is bringing in a rock star to really make your Christmas special pop.
Yep.
That's about it. Yeah. But
keep the industry employed for this Christmas specials, please. This is a plea to anyone listening to this. The Volcanics are available for work.
There you go. But speaking of, let's talk about your Christmas album, because I really want to get into this. I mean, it's a cool little album here, man. I dug every single track. So it's four tracks, and it's called Christmas Wassailing. And you know, we kind of already talked about it, but how did you pick the tunes? Like, how did you decide which songs to actually do?
I don't know. I came in with the ideas, Ben destroyed them, and then Jared put them back together. But no, I don't know, to be honest with you. I remember there was, well, when we were doing this record, this label likes to put four songs on the vinyl. So, okay. We had the two songs in the bag. I think it was the Snowman Walk and Hark.
Yeah.
And then we came in with two more. And those were the ones that we were kind of scratching our head trying to figure out what to do. I remember we were thinking about doing a version of White Christmas for a long time too.
Oh yeah, I can see that playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
A long time. I mean, Frankie was playing us Christmas songs like a Christmas ago.
Yeah, but, for like a year. Yeah.
We every time like it came up, we still hadn't done it. But I mean, Frankie's been shedding like different Christmas songs for a couple of years. It's not like we just picked these songs and like did mm-hmm. them in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. I mean, like he's been formulating a plot for this for a long time. So Frankie already had a few songs. He's like, hey, check these songs out. Mm-hmm. What about this? And he would play this. And Ben and I would probably just be like, yeah, like that could really work. Or I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, but he already had like so many. I mean, this is a guy who puts up Christmas lights the day after Halloween. So, there's no shortage of Christmas inspiration here.
I dig it. It's funny because, like, you know, these are great songs. A lot of them are classics, but like, Here We Come a Wassailing. It's nice little 6/8 tune. Do 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 do. I mean, it's not something you'd expect from like a surf rock group.
Sure,
that was the first. So Hark and Snowman were written and recorded previously, and then we had to come in and do the last two.
Mm-hmm.
There was a year of Frankie playing us songs and us shooting them down or ruining them. And then quarantine hit, mm-hmm. right? So those last two, so Comfort and Joy and Wassailing, were written via email pretty much. Mm-hmm. And this is a long way to get to this, but your 6/8 comment is the first question I texted back to Frankie, because he texted me, what about Here We Come Wassailing? And I said, are you going to do it as a shuffle? And he said, what's that? And I said, this is swung. The song is swung. So are you flattening it? Like, are you flattening it into like a surf beat, or are you going to swing it? And he said, I'll just record it and send it to you. So I would just get sent at that point, right? Like this is April, I think this is all happening, Jared, because we recorded the thing in May. So April we're sort of writing, and it was like a month of like, my email would go off and it would be like a cell phone recording of 8 bars of like, Here We Come a Wassailing. And it'd just be kind of like, yeah, what do you think? Yeah, no. And I would like, I had like a snare and a little one cymbal set up. I live in an apartment, so like set up in the corner, all quiet. And I would like fire up GarageBand and like play like a quick beat over it, mm-hmm. send it back like that. Question mark. And that was like, that was those last two songs got put together, just sending back 10, you know, 15 seconds at a time, like yes, no.
Jared, I remember when we first I went to your house and I threw down the idea, you recorded it, and then we jammed it. I remember it was gonna be pretty punk rock too. Remember, we were gonna start off slow, you know,
yeah,
and then blast off with it. But It turned out pretty good that, you know, it came together. So
yeah, I really love the way it came out. I think it just got glued in once we added the sleigh bells on top.
Mm-hmm.
Once like we just handed Ben like as many sleigh bells as we could and yeah, put him in front of some mics, and it was just like, oh my God, there it is. That's it.
Yeah. It's a Christmas song now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sleigh bells makes anything Christmassy.
Yeah. Yeah. And those bells on the Snowman Walk was pretty cool too.
I did notice that. Yeah. About like halfway through.
Yeah.
Around
yeah.
there. Mm-hmm.
I will tell on Frankie, the first, I just said, give me the bells. I have an idea. And I went in the room and I recorded like some of those ones. There's places where the bells just stop, or like where there's like one hit of it. And Frankie like dials in the room. He's like, it's sounding really like late Beatles, like acidity in there. I was like, man. Yeah, put a bunch of reverb on. Like, again, we just, Jared and I just ruined his childhood all day. Like, I was like, no, we just got to make it weird. You're going to, like, we're going all, get the sitar. I'm ready. Like,
I would have loved to have sitar on that
song. Oh, man.
Beatles version of it. It's with the Beatles. I don't know. That's terrible. Oh, man. And then you have Tidings of Comfort and Joy. So that's essentially like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Sure. With, yeah. You know, with yeah. The surf we spin. Incorporated some pipeline in there, which was really cool. Like Jared's doing that groove, and then we start off the song that way. So, yeah, that was a fun one, too. I enjoyed those.
How long does it normally take to record?
These days, it's a lot faster, but... I don't know. In the past, it would take a little bit longer because we would do bigger, like full length, 10, 12 songs.
Right.
But now we're doing more EP size things. So it's a lot quicker. So taking COVID out of the equation, pretty fast. Ben or Frankie, I don't remember who was saying, we never actually played the other two Christmas songs before we recorded them. We did like Postal Service, and then like we got into the studio and played them for the first time together and tracked everything in one day. And then really it's just up to me to like finish the mix.
Put it together. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Wassailing is like, I think we talked about this, but I think the version of Wassailing you hear those, that's the second time that those drums get played. Like we rehearsed it once. I think I recorded two passes of it, and it was sort of like, Jared, any of those good? And he was like, you're fine. And I was like, okay, well, there's the song, like we're done. Like, all right, I'm fine. Like,
I'm gonna go get a pizza, you guys finish.
Yeah, like literally I went exactly. To go, okay, I'll go pick up the pizza. Like, yep. You know, we'll call you when it's time for sleigh bells, dummy. Go get the pizza. Yeah.
But you can always make it really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Do like a 3-year 70s style, 80s style production.
Yeah.
But
you could Fleetwood Mac the heck out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this is surf, and it's meant
straightforward.
Meant to be garagey, straightforward, raw, and we don't want it to sound too polished. So we don't spend a lot of time on it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we did, it would sound a little bit too polite maybe.
Yeah.
Like, we want it to have that, that edge, like when we are actually in the garage jamming something for the first time and there's that energy in the room, that's what we try and go for in the studio. So it makes it a lot quicker because set all the mics up, takes a few hours, get it sounding good, get the room sounding good. And then we go, and then we capture kind of what you hear is pretty close to what we capture at the time. We spend a little time, like maybe, with the mix later, or if we want to overdub some more guitars, like rhythm guitar or something, we'll do that later after the fact. But I mean, it's pretty quick now. I mean, we work so well together, we can learn a song, Frankie can bring riffs in, we can hash out a new tune. And I mean, we're all confident enough to where we could probably just record it pretty soon thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been recording this band, Frankie and his all the different versions of the Volcanics for so long that I know exactly what we need to do to get the sound that makes Frankie smile, because that's all we really want at the end of the day. We want to make sure Frankie's happy.
We're all here for Frankie.
that must make you feel pretty special.
Because if you can make him happy with the recordings, you've done something,
Am I that difficult, Jared?
No, you're not. You're not difficult at all. But you often are trying for something that's a little bit more challenging in the modern era to capture. Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part is actually stripping it down and keeping it raw and energetic, because it's really easy to record everything separately and isolated and get this really pristine, nice sounding recording, but it's hard to like capture the energy in the room. And, you know, that's what's challenging about working with Frankie, because I know what he's hearing is not this really crispy, clear, pretty, you know, sound. It's like, it's got some edge to it. It's got some dirt. It's got some vibe, you know.
I think in joining too, like that was like a learning curve in a way for me, right? It's like, well, one, to start, it's like, we look to Frankie on where the sails should be, like, you know, my captain, where do we point the sails, right? Because I think he understands the genre, like his understanding of the genre is like so clear that he knows what that sound is we're searching for. And for me joining, like I had previously played in a bunch of like punk rock bands and like psychobilly bands and stuff like that, where a lot of the recording process, even on the drums, was like my, I guess not claim to fame, but like the reason I got the gigs I got was because you can put a click track on for me and I'm going to knock out two takes of it. Like, there it is, one take done. And here you go. Y'all can do whatever you want with it. And then coming to the Volcanics, I came in with that same approach of like, don't worry about it, Jared. Like, just put the collector down. I'll give you two. And then you can pick which fills you want, pick whatever you want for my chat, and you're good to go. And they're like, no, we want everybody to do it together. And I'm like, oh, that's such a pain though. Like, I was like, don't you just want me to play it once for you and then you can do whatever you want? And they're like, no, we're doing it together. It's like, okay, cool. Then I get Frankie dirty looks when he messes up.
So, oh yeah. Yeah, these two guys are such good players. They're always keeping me on my tippy toes. So I just, you know, they challenge me to work harder and better. So like I'm trying to catch up to where they're at. So
it's interesting that you do the rhythm guitar afterwards, because I've always done rhythm first and then added the lead on top. And so to me, that's is that more of, because like when you play live, you basically have to play lead.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Especially as a three piece now. Mm-hmm. We had our buddy Mark with us in the band for the longest time, practically when the band started, but he just left back in January. So we had him. But even then, I would be playing the lead. I would be playing the lead, the melody line. Mm-hmm. And that kind of directs where the song goes and where everyone goes. At least it's a solid, you know, foundation for, you know, the hooks and all that. So
right.
Good directive.
Part of it too, I think, grows out of like when I, this is again like adapting to doing instrumental surf music, right? Like I was used to, you know, whatever it's going to be, like punk or rockabilly band, whatever, right? Like drum tracks, cool. You're probably going to put your guitar player / singer in the control room. He's going to knock out some scratch guitar and hum the vocals over it so I know where I am. And then everybody all overdub everything later.
Right.
Coming into surf, there's no vocalists. There's no anything. So I'm just like, I got to know where the heck I am, because I don't know where I'm. Like, so if I'm not hearing like the comfort and joy like hook, I'm lost at this point. So, right. And then out of that, it was like, well, should that be a scratch track that we overdub later? Or should that be the one that ends up on the record? And it's like, well, it's more natural and organic and cooler and true to the genre if he does it right the first time with the drums. So I was like, all right, well, pressure's on, like, here we go.
Yep. Sometimes that's how the best stuff is made though, you know. It's like you sink or swim, and so when you swim, it's like an amazing thing.
And yeah I used to dread recording, and I still do sometimes, you know, especially, you know, trying to keep up with these guys. But playing with these guys, it's just, I'm having so much fun.
Right on.
And it's been a blast. And Jared and I have been writing a lot, so we'll be throwing ideas back and forth lately. So I'm really excited for what the new year's gonna, you know, what we have to offer the new year. So looking forward to that. I mean, we're just constantly writing since we can't play live shows or tour. So
yeah, might as well have a deep book at this.
Yeah,
point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on. So your EP, where can we find it?
Yeah, I can do that. I got this one.
That's,
I got
this. I got
everybody's just looking at you.
The new record, The Volcanics, Christmas Wassailing with The Volcanics, is available streaming everywhere, whichever Spotify, YouTube, whatever you got, you can stream it there. If you want to throw us some money, you can go to High Tide Recordings. If you're a digital native person, High Tide has a Bandcamp page where you can buy the MP3s or whatever format you so choose. If you are a nerd like me and you gotta have the vinyl, High Tide
colored vinyl,
yes, High Tide Recordings, just www.hightiderecordings.com or www.hightideshop.com, high spelled H-I, and that's it. Hightideshop.com, it is available there. It's on the first pressing is a limited green vinyl. And the it might be sold out already, but I know the first 100 of them come also with like a Christmas card that's signed by these three dweebs you're talking to today, inspired by the record. So plenty of bonuses and stuff there. But yeah, just Google it, man. You'll find it.
What about social media if they want to follow the band?
Yep, we are on all of the things. Instagram, we are at The Volcanics. Facebook, The Volcanics. And if you forget all of that, just type in www.thevolcanics.com and you'll find links to Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, everything but TikTok, because we're all old, man.
Yeah, I definitely feel you there. Social media, marketing, all in one, drummer, all in one. So master, we call him Master Ben.
Did you see how low drumming ranked on that list?
I did notice that. Yeah.
Did you see that?
I don't know.
Yikes!
But in classic surf records, you can barely even hear that.
I know. Now, yeah, exactly. Every time, that's a good point. Every time Frankie's like, I just wish this sounded more like an old school surf record. What he means is, I wish you couldn't hear the drums.
Not at all.
You hear the snare a little bit, but you definitely can't hear the kick.
No kick drum.
Oh, God. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, man. And okay, one last thing before we go. How did you come up with the name?
You know what? There was an old Bel Air song called Volcanic Action. But I'm not sure. You know, I was the band started out when my old surf band opened up for this other band called the Mighty Kagesmen. They were a rock and roll frat party band. And the Volcanics formed after that with some of those members. So it was me and some of those guys. And one of the guitar players came up with it. So, but I want to say he got it from Volcanic Action. It's a song from a Bel Air's, from the Bel Air's old surf band. So I believe it's that. So.
Right on. Well, I love the album. And, you know, yeah, guys, go out and buy it. It's amazing. I think you'll love it, whether you like surf music or not. If you like Christmas music, you're going to love this album. It's just everything about it. It's fantastic. It's up-tempo. It makes you think, especially that number four track. I mean, it's just everything about it. It makes you feel good. And it really captures that Christmas spirit. And from there, go check out their other stuff. It's great as well. So thanks for coming on. I'm really excited not only to talk about that movie, but that, you know, to hear all the rest of your catalog. So I will be plugging the heck out of you guys.
Thank you so much. We're enjoying your page. Ben was making fun of me because I was telling them that I don't know how it came up, but that joke about me eating cereal in front of Saturday morning. But I was saying, it's funny you say that. I was watching old 80s Christmas commercials on YouTube. So I saw a lot of your stuff. It's pretty cool, man. So I'm like, oh, I like this. This is pretty cool.
I was explaining to the guys. I was like, no, it's like an 80s Christmas. And I was like, it's what? The stuff you all like. Like, you guys are all going to be best friends. Like, this is, we're in.
Speaking of huge dweebs, that's totally me. I mean, I love He-Man and, you know,
I saw that. It was very cool.
So, you know, I don't just love
a lot of fun. Very fun.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
The Volcanics, check them out. Christmas Wassailing, go buy it immediately. And I'm going to end it by saying, we're walking in the air. We're floating in the moonlit sky. I'm finding I can fly so high above with you. As long as you check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like James discovering his snowman is alive, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.